One of the words that you and I will talk about in the sermon tonight is the word sanctify. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, and it has two meanings. The first meaning is to make holy, and the second meaning is to set apart for God. So being made holy, we're brought to faith, we have our faith, we're forgiven, we have our home in heaven. But then living as a Christian, that's the second part. The first part's easy because God does all that. But the second part, living like a Christian, is never easy. In our study of God's Word for our sermon tonight from John 17, Jesus is going to pray for the disciples to be sanctified, to be kept in their faith, because he knows how hard it's going to be for them and for us today. What comfort you and I have in knowing that we're part of God's plan of salvation. He's the one that brings us to faith. He's there to use his word to protect us, and he's also there to use his word to sanctify us and help us live like believers. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. He died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled here in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus, and grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We heard the account of Jesus' ascension last week. These verses include the names of the disciples that were following Jesus, and you'll notice one name that's missing, and that we'll talk about in this sermon, and that's Judas. Judas is no longer one of the disciples of Jesus. These names of the disciples remind us that you and I, too, are disciples of the Savior. I wrote my first book, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began doing and teaching until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, which you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they were together with him, they asked, "Lord, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said these things, he was taken up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he went away. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter and John were there, also James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All of them kept praying together with one mind, along with the women, with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4 and also some verses in chapter 5. The sinful world around us hates God and anything to do with God. We should not be surprised if we're rejected or laughed at or ridiculed for our faith. Peter reminds us to expect it. You and I are here to endure all things and to keep our faith in Jesus. Dear friends, do not be surprised by the fiery trial that is happening among you to test you, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, rejoice whenever you are sharing in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted in connection with the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or as a meddler. But if you suffer for being a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God in connection with this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. Now if it begins with us, what will the end be for those who disobey the gospel of God? Therefore, humble yourselves under God's powerful hand, so that He may lift you up at the appointed time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Have sound judgment. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him by being firm in the faith. You know that the same kinds of sufferings are being laid on your brotherhood all over the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who called you into His eternal glory in Christ Jesus will Himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God's word for our study and encouragement is from John 17, verses 11 through 19. I am no longer going to be in the world, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name which you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. When I was with them, I kept those you gave me safe in your name. I protected them, and not one of them was destroyed, except the son of destruction, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I am saying these things in the world, so that they may be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Dear fellow believers, every week you and I have the chance to get together and study God's word, and we could do this every day of the week and we'd never be done studying. There's so much to learn and so much to take in. Some of the things that we forget and we've got to go over them again. But there's so much information in the Bible that we're never really done. There's also some things in the Bible that can be difficult to understand, things that take more studying. Well, these are the things that we know for sure. We know the basics about the Bible. We know we're sinners. We know we need our Savior Jesus. And Jesus has come to do just that, to be the Savior that you and I need, the Savior who can take away our sins and give us our home in heaven. When Jesus was with his disciples, he wanted those men to understand the same things that you and I know by faith, and to have great comfort in knowing that they were part of God's plan. They were part of God's plan to be brought to faith and then to serve the Lord. Well, that, my friends, is very comforting for you and I too. Our faith isn't an accident. This is all part of God's plan. We're part of His plan of salvation. And while you and I are living here, Jesus prays that we may be protected from our spiritual enemies. And He also prays that we might be sanctified and live as Christians while we're here in this sinful world. John 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. We talked about part of this a few weeks ago. And now this particular part, starting with verse 11, focuses on his first disciples. Jesus is praying for them to his heavenly Father. He wants them to be protected. And the things that Jesus wants them to be protected from are not the Roman governor, Pilate. It's not the Pharisees in Jerusalem. It's not the Roman army. It's the greatest enemies that they could face for their spiritual life. And there's three of them. The devil was their enemy. The devil was going to try and lead them astray and stop them from their preaching and teaching. And he succeeded with Judas, which we'll talk about later. Another spiritual enemy is the world in which they live. You heard Jesus say, "I'm not of the world. The disciples are not of the world." That meant that they were not living in a way that the world talks about or that the world envies. The disciples would be tempted by the world to live in sinful ways. Maybe the worst enemy that they faced was their own sinful nature. They carried that with them wherever they went. God says, "Do this," and the sinful nature that lives inside of a person says, "No, I want to do this instead." Totally opposed to God. Totally opposed to anything that God says. And so Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he wanted them to be protected. And what would the thing be that would protect them from the devil and the world and their own sinful nature? It wouldn't be the disciples' strength. It wouldn't be Jesus being there and being there on this earth again. The power to remain as disciples and to be protected from spiritual enemies would come through the power of God's word. And that's what Jesus is praying for. Father, strengthen them. Keep them protected. Here are all these enemies, and Jesus was concerned about them. Well, what happened to Judas? Jesus mentions him here in this Bible reading. He calls him the son of destruction. Did God's protection fail Judas? Was Judas's position just a matter of fate that he was supposed to betray Jesus and he didn't really have any other choice? Even after he betrayed Jesus, he would have had the opportunity to repent and be forgiven. Jesus calls him a son of destruction. He was really a product of the things that he allowed himself to do. He had a love for money, and the devil conveniently gave him a temptation to love more money. And when Judas sinned, he didn't remember that Jesus would forgive him. Instead, he was filled with despair, didn't think he could ever be forgiven, and that's when he takes his own life. God didn't fail Judas. Judas failed Judas in not following his faith and had that terrible ending to his life here on earth. In this prayer, the disciples are with him, and Jesus is praying out loud. They can hear what he's saying. He wants to make a big impression on them so that they know how important this is to be protected. They haven't started their earthly ministry yet. That's still to come. They really have no idea how difficult all of this is going to be. But Jesus does. He's been through it during his earthly ministry. He's praying out loud so that they realize how important it is to stay connected to God. And if it was that important for Jesus to pray for them to be protected from their spiritual enemies, think of how important it would be for the disciples to be doing the same thing. They were part of God's plan of salvation. Jesus had brought them to faith. They were forgiven. They had their home in heaven. But they needed protection. They were going to be tempted to fall away from the Lord, and only with the power of God's word would they be able to remain strong in their faith. Isn't it comforting to know that you and I are part of God's plan of salvation? Before you and I were even born, God was already thinking about us. Knowing who we would be and when we would live, he already had it planned out that Jesus would come and live here in our place. He would die for our sins. He would be raised again so that we would be assured of our own resurrection from the dead. We're part of that plan. Not a haphazard plan. This was God's plan to bring us to faith in Jesus. But this same prayer that Jesus prays is something that you and I need too. We're living in a sinful world. The sinful world says, you don't have to listen to God. Just do what's popular out there in society. The devil, he's always looking for some kind of an angle to get into our hearts and lives and change our faith or at least get us to question our faith. In our sinful nature, every day, we carry it with us wherever we go. wants to do just the opposite of what God says and stay away from the Lord and forget about your faith. We have all those same temptations. And Jesus is praying for us to be protected. And it's not our strength or our smarts that keep us away from those things. It's the power of God's Word that does that. A few weeks ago, we had the privilege of watching some of our children and adults being confirmed in their faith. And they stood around the communion railing here, and they confessed their faith in Jesus. They promised, like we all do when we're confirmed, that we'd rather die than give up our faith. It's that important. After the rite of confirmation, there was a prayer for those being confirmed. And it's really a prayer for all of us with our faith. And here's what part of the prayer says. Gracious Father, renew them each day that they may continue to grow in faith and boldly confess you before others. Give them the desire to put away sin and live each day for your glory. Protect them from temptation and all the attacks of the devil. That's a wonderful prayer that you and I need. We're going to be tempted. What weapons are we going to use to fight against the devil? Here comes the sinful world. Here comes our sinful nature. What are we going to use to stay away from temptation? Well, what did Jesus use? He was tempted too, wasn't he? In fact, right after his baptism, he's taken out into the wilderness, and remember how the devil tempts him. And what did Jesus use to stay strong? He used God's Word. God's Word kept Jesus strong in his faith. It kept him reminded of his Father's will for him in his life. And that's what you and I need too. The stronger we are in faith, the easier it is to avoid those temptations. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be protected. And as we use God's Word and sacrament, that's exactly what happens. You and I are part of God's plan of salvation. He's given us our faith, and he's going to strengthen and protect us in our faith by using the same thing that brought us to faith, which is the power of his Word. In a couple weeks, I'm starting a new Bible information class. There's 20 lessons, basic lessons about the Bible's teachings. Lesson 13 is about prayer. Sometimes when I take people through that lesson, they've never really thought about prayer. They don't know what prayer is. They don't know how to make up a prayer. They don't know what happens with prayer or how it works at all. And so I explain it to them and I tell them, well, we can use a prayer book, but you can just tell God what's on your heart. That's what prayer is. God hears all of our prayers. God answers all of our prayers in a way that's going to be best for us. And when we're praying, we're talking directly to God. Well, when I say those things in the class, some people, they just can't believe it. You mean we get to talk to the one true God directly? He's going to hear the prayers that we make, and he's going to answer the prayers that we make? That's what the Bible tells us. And we look up all the Bible verses so they understand this is what God wants us to believe about prayer, and what a privilege it is to use prayer to help us out with temptation or anything else in our life. And you and I have that same privilege. We can talk to God anywhere, anytime, about anything, and we know that he's going to help us. The question for you and me, who know all about prayer, is, are we making use of it? Sometimes we think about prayer when there's problems going on, or we think about prayer when something else is happening. But if everything is going well, maybe we don't pray so much or don't see the need to talk to God or pray for other people. Sometimes we're tempted to rely on ourselves to get us through difficult times and not the Lord. What did Jesus do when he faced difficult circumstances? He prayed for himself. Then he prayed for his disciples. Then he prayed for all disciples. Jesus made use of prayer all the time. And that's a message to you and me, how important this is, that we would make use of prayer. It's part of our faith and part of being a Christian. We have that privilege. And through God's Word again, he's strengthening our faith and protecting us. We pray for that. And not only for that, we also pray that God would sanctify us and help you and I to live like Christians every single day. Here's what Jesus says in the second part of our reading. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So there's that word sanctification again. To make holy, that's what God does when he brings people to faith. The second meaning, set apart for God, set apart to live as a Christian, that's also the work of the Holy Spirit. Our being brought to faith and being forgiven, that's complete. We are justified. It's all done. But when we're talking about living like a Christian, that's never done. We're never done living like a believer, and it's never perfect either. Our life as a Christian and our faith goes up and down all the time. We have a strong day of faith, and then the next day our faith is weak. We're never done growing and living as a Christian, but we are forgiven. We have our home in heaven. That part's done. Living as a Christian is not. Jesus wanted his first disciples to be sanctified. He wanted them to live as Christians. So when he's praying this to his heavenly Father, he's really directing them back to God's word again, isn't he? The disciples would have been very familiar with these verses from John. He told them, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's what he told them. You hold on to what I've taught you, and you can live like a disciple. You can be connected to me by faith every single day. Paul would say this about God's word in Romans 8. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The disciples were sanctified. They were set apart to live as Christians. And as they used God's word, they would stay connected to Jesus. They would have the power through the gospel to live like a child of God every single day. The Holy Spirit has sanctified us. We are forgiven of all of our sins, justified. We have a home in heaven, all taken care of. But now living like a Christian, our life of sanctification, that's a process. For us too, we have strong days of faith when it couldn't be stronger. Other days, something's happened and now our faith is weak. We go up and down all the time, and we're never done. God wants us to live a life of sanctification every single day. And where does the strength come from to do that? We're not going to find it in ourselves. You and I are no match for the devil or the sinful world or our sinful nature. We need help. We need the Holy Spirit to help us live as a child of God each day. And God's word gives us the power to do so. Isn't it wonderful? You and I are part of this plan of salvation. We know that we've been sanctified. We know that God is going to be with us as we live as Christians. And we have the privilege of doing that every day. Lately, I've seen farmers out planting their fields. I was down in Bay City for a pastor's circuit meeting on Monday, all the way down M13 and back up I-75. Tractors were everywhere. Well, in the olden days, before all the technology in a farm tractor, when the farmer wanted to plant a straight field, plant straight rows in the field, there was almost like a rifle sight on the end of the hood, and you could line that up with something on the other end of the field, and you just watch that, and you could make a straight path go to the other side. Then there was an arm that came out from the planter and then marked the furrow for the next row to put your tractor in and get guided along. Well, if the farmer would look back while he's planting, of course, you're going to be all over the place. It's not going to be straight at all. Looking back is not a good thing when you're a Christian, but that's what the devil tempts people to do. Sometimes he says to the Christian, well, look back. You see what you learned back in confirmation class? You learned all these things in the Bible. You made your confession of faith for confirmation, so you don't really have to study anymore because you've learned all that, and you don't really have to be in church much because you've been there a lot. Look back at what you've done in the past and rely on that. That's one of the devil's temptations. Another one that involves looking back. The devil says, look back. You see those sins that you committed back there? Sins of thought or word or deed. How can you be a Christian? How can you be forgiven? Can God really give you a home in heaven? He wants us to look back. And if we look back, everything gets messed up again with our faith. The devil would love it if we look back and say, oh yeah, I had all that in confirmation. I don't need to work on my faith. But that would give us a false sense of security. And looking back at sin and thinking about sin, isn't that what Judas did? He couldn't get over it. How can God forgive me? He was filled with despair and ended up taking his own life. God doesn't want us to look back. He doesn't want us to rely on what we studied in the past. He wants us to look forward and to continue to grow in our faith. And he doesn't want us to look back at our sins either, because he's forgiven them and forgotten them. And you and I get to live in that joy every day. When we're living as Christians and we're following God and His Word, things couldn't be better because we'll be strong in our faith with our trust in the Lord, knowing what's coming for us in the future, knowing that we're part of His plan, and nothing could be better than that. You and I are going to study the Bible our whole lives, but these basic truths tonight are so wonderful. What joy we have in knowing that God included us in His plan of salvation. And that's exactly what we have. We have our home in heaven with Him. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll join together in our confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. O Lord God, we thank You for the wonderful gift of Jesus, Your Son, and for the promised graces we have received through Him. We thank You that through His perfect life and His obedience to death on the cross, we have been granted cleansing and pardon for all of our sins. We thank You that in His resurrection we have the promise of life everlasting, and that in His ascension to the right hand of Your Majesty, we have the assurance that He continually prays for us. Help us believe and trust in Him, love and serve Him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions, we may manifest in His Spirit. Rebuke our selfishness and our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen the hope that we have in You, and continue to help us live sanctified lives of faith. Lord, we ask that You would dwell in our homes. Let the trust of our families be centered in You alone, so that no difficulty, no trial, no adversity can rob us of the conviction that You are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to You as the unfailing spring of healing and hope. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, Your Son and our Savior. Amen. Dear Lord, on this day, Memorial Day, set aside to honor those who have died in service to our country, we thank You for giving us such patriotic citizens and a country that chooses to remember them. We also thank You for those believers who have gone before us in Your service and have prepared for us the rich heritage of Your gospel. We remember the blessings You gave to them and to us through them. Praise be to You, dear Savior, in Your eternal glory. It's in Your name that we ask this and also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.